The following podcast is a work of fiction. All characters are the creation of Peter Williams. Any resemblance to someone living or dead is purely coincidental. Thank you.
Today on this Tentacle Tuesday, we find out if Alex Kutchma can come home. And what the cost might be for her to do so. Is anyone willing to pay such a price, Detective Donaldson? Josephine Kutchma? Jonah Hollander? Oh, and how about you, Detective Warren Stevens? As we begin to wrap up this story, don't worry, children, we still have one more Tentacle Tuesday left before we do that. Now, as always, please remember this podcast does contain images of graphic violence, child endangerment, and that naughty, salty language I'm so fond of. So grab your tentacles once more and prepare yourself for Chapter 21, Pain and Consequences.
Donaldson fell silent and knelt to close Mr. Alistair's eyes. Behind him, he could hear Jonah calling out, "Mr. Alistair!" Donaldson stood and shook his head. Jonah slid to the ground next to Alistair's body and cradled his bruised and bloody face in his lap. He wiped away the blood with his tears and looked at how peaceful Mr. Alistair's face appeared in the early morning sunlight. "I'm sorry," Rich began. "He saved my life and..." "It's okay, Detective Donaldson," Jonah said, as he took out some oils from his cloak and drew symbols over his forehead, lips, and heart. He kept his prayers quiet and then finally stood up saying, "Good night, Mr. Alistair." "Mr. Donaldson, please step back for a minute." Donaldson did so as Jonah unwrapped his left hand once more. It was as black as the night, and Rich could see a glow coming from it. He then placed his left hand over the body until the glow encompassed it. His body arched upward momentarily and then began to break down, but not into ash like the cultists had done, but into tiny specks of light that swirled and then flowed into the hand of Jonah Hollander. Rich looked at him deeply puzzled.
"What? What did you do?"
"I took his body into mine," Jonah replied. "He made me promise that when he died, that I took his power for my own."
"Then what happens to...
his soul?" Jonah replied.
"Yeah."
"Unlike those less fortunate creatures, his soul has already moved on. If I'm right, he should be at the steps of heaven right now, meeting a very old friend of mine." Rich watched him rewrap his arm. The glow was gone, but it was black as obsidian.
"So, what, how do I,
Rich was looking for a polite way to ask him about his arm. Jonah sighed and shook his head. He wouldn't be the first person that felt uncomfortable about his arm, and he surely wouldn't be the last. "Detective, my arm turned this color when I was 6. An ancient demon named Silen ate my baby sister. Before I knew what I was or what was happening, I found myself consuming it. My body began to break down and process that demon's energy into my own."
I...
He was still speechless. Jonah laughed a little. "It's a long story, Detective, and maybe one day I'll share it with you, but..." Warren had managed to slowly catch up to his two comrades.
What happened? Where's Mr. Alistair? Is he..."
"Yes, Warren. Mr. Alistair has gone home."
"Oh, I'm sorry, Jonah," Warren replied.
"Don't be," Jonah said. "He's been looking forward to this day ever since I met him. He's worked very long and very hard to achieve this." The cottage door opened and Miss Kutchma stepped out and looked at the three haggard men. She was visibly shaking.
"What's wrong, Josephine?" Warren asked.
"Alex, she's not moving and she's barely breathing."
"I was afraid of that," Jonah said, turning towards the cottage.
"Why? What happened?" Rich asked.
I
destroyed the gate between our world and, Warren said. I really didn't have a choice if I hadn't...
Miss Kuchma looked at Jonah tearfully.
You promised. You promised me that you would bring her home.
Yes. Yes, I did. Warren, you still have the sword, right?
Yeah, why?
Jonah turned to Rich. Go get the girl and follow us back to the cemetery. Rich came out a few minutes later, carrying the girl, wrapped completely in the detective's trench coat. As Warren and Jonah had done the night before, Rich, Miss Kuchma, Jonah, and Warren all passed the east gate and approached the mausoleum. Jonah turned to Rich. Lay the girl on the first step. And Warren?
Yeah?
I need you to open the gateway for me again, Jonah replied, pointing to the slot in the wall. Warren did so, inserting the blade into the slot, and once again the giant tumblers turned and the doors fell away into the abyss. A blast of cold air met them, and Jonah took off his robes and began to walk towards the doorway. But before he could step through, a very angry Detective Stevens stood before him. What are you doing, Warren? He asked.
Stopping you.
If someone doesn't cross through, she can't return, Jonah insisted.
And what happens to the person who crosses over, hmm?
Warren demanded, giving Rich a look indicating he might need a hand if Jonah persisted. He said nothing in reply.
You know, Warren said, I wasn't born yesterday, Jonah. Whoever crosses over can't come back, can they?
He shook his head quietly.
No.
That's the great price you were talking about earlier, isn't it?
Warren, I promised Miss Kuchma.
And who's going to protect us, huh? Warren demanded.
I may understand the darkness. I may be open to what lies out there, but I'm not equipped to handle it the way you are.
Still, what if I go? Warren asked. Rich looked up at him.
What?
Warren? Miss Kuchma looked at both men.
I could go.
Sorry, lady, Warren responded. Your daughter's not coming back here to find out you're gone. She'll need you. Rich began.
Don't even think about that. You have a wife and two beautiful daughters waiting for you.
Warren, don't make me force you out of my way. Warren turned, nailing him with a punch in the jaw, knocking him to the ground. And don't you threaten me! Look, I have nothing left here. I've lost my wife, I've lost my son, I've lost so many friends, and Hicks. I'm done, and I want to be done.
Jonah, rubbing his jaw, looked at the man's fierce determination. Are you sure about this? He asked.
I am. As I said, Warren, there's no coming home. And I don't know what you're going to find on the other side of that gate.
You don't think I know that, Warren replied. But that girl's expecting me. No one else. You've all seen it. The way she's drawn to me. My presence.
It has to be me.
I'm going.
Jonah extended out his hand, and Warren helped him back up. Rich pleaded with Jonah.
You're really not going to let him go. You can't.
Warren turned to Rich.
Rich, you're a great friend and partner, and Montgomery is going to need someone to guide them out of this mess.
But, he objected.
Jonah?
Yes.
Earlier at the temple, when I began, you know, thanks for stopping me. I know better than to.
Jonah nodded and understood. I will pass that along to Maggie.
Thank you.
Miss Kuchma looked at him with tears in her eyes.
I had no idea that this is what he meant, by such a great cost. I'm so ashamed.
Why? I made this decision, back at the temple when I destroyed the well. Miss Kuchma looked over at Alex's sleeping body.
Do you want your coat back?
No.
Let the kid have it. Where I'm going, I don't suspect I'll need it anymore.
He exchanged a few hugs and turned to the gate and stepped through. All but Jonah had to cover their eyes from the blinding flash of white light. Miss Kuchma buried her face in Jonah's chest, and they all watched and waited for Alex Kuchma to come home. On the other side, the wind picked up, and Alex pulled the coat tight around her.
She was beyond frightened. After the mountain collapsed, a vicious storm arose. Chunks of rock fell from the sky, and she could hear shouting and a horrible scream. Fire erupted across the sky, scorching in a deep red. The giant tentacled beast was flailing as it hung in the air. It was strange how only parts of it were visible. Then, as if punched by an invisible fist, it fell to the ground below in a fiery blaze, followed by more stones and an oily black liquid. The creature continued to reach up towards the storm, trying to pull its way back into the eye of the vortex. Streaks of black lightning spread across the sky, demolishing anything they hit. Alex closed her eyes and pulled the coat around her, but she could still see. She could see through the coat, through herself. She had become translucent. The floor beneath her rumbled, and a huge crack formed in the temple in front of her. She watched the beast below. She could no longer turn away. It seemed to be infuriated, hurtling stones and smashing parts of the valley walls. Smaller vortexes, like fissures in space and time, began to form around it. Black and purple flames struck out, seemingly seizing upon the creature. As the flames did so, the creature would break off one of its tentacles, trying to ooze its way out of the flames, but they acted like shackles, wrapping themselves around its appendages and pulling it down into the glowing mass of energy. It roared and screamed in defiance, but whatever this energy was, it would not release the beast. The earth rumbled again, and she heard another crack directly in front of her. Her eyes fell upon what looked like a pitch-black void in the shape of a doorway that opened in the air just a few feet from the temple. She slowly moved towards it. She could swear she could see stars floating inside it. More of the earth around her shattered, and one of the moons now seemed to be descending towards the earth below. Everything shook, and she nearly lost her balance from another distant explosion. This world was dying, she thought to herself, and looked at the door. Was it safe just to go? She had been told to wait for him, to. Just then, a white glow in the shape of a man stepped through the door. As he took form, she began to recognize him. It was the man who had found her at the Thomas residence, the man who had been kind to her and wrapped her in his coat. This coat, she looked at herself. Then the man smiled at her and held out his hand. Coming? She nodded tearfully, yes, and ran for him, giving him a big hug. Thank you. Thank you for coming for me. But as she tried to put her arms around him, he faded, and she felt herself being pulled through the void he had just come from. After a few moments, the detective's hat rolled through the gate and landed near the body of Alex Kuchma, who immediately sat up as if trying to catch her breath. She looked lost, as if expecting to see someone who was now like a fading dream. Alex? Miss Kuchma asked. Mom? Josephine nodded and took the girl into her arms.
Oh, Mom, I was so scared. It was...
Jonah interceded. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you should get her home. Feed her. It will be a few days before her strength returns. Alex looked around desperately. She didn't recognize either of these men. She stood up and stumbled.
Where? Where is he?
Alex asked.
Who?
Josephine responded.
The man. The man who gave me this coat.
Josephine began to cry, and Rich put his hand on her shoulder. Jonah picked up the fedora by her feet and handed it to her and said, Miss Kuchma, Josephine, instead of taking Alex home, let's go back to the cottage. We can have a small meal so she can start to recover, and I'll tell you the whole story. The four turned away from the mausoleum and past the rosemary bushes on their way to the cottage. They ate a quiet and somber breakfast as Jonah told the tale of Detective Warren Stevens versus the cult of Ikkyatsu. As he finished, Alex, with tear-stained eyes, asked,
Is he really gone? Did he really sacrifice his life for me?
Yes, Jonah replied. Alex turned to Josephine.
I want to do something for him. Please, Mom, I
don't know, sweetie, Miss Kuchma replied.
What can we really do?
Rich chimed in. Well, I have an idea. Rich told him his idea and the group nodded. Alex smiled. Something Miss Kuchma hadn't seen since that awful night. They continued to share their meal and stories long into the morning. As they do so,
we are drawn away from the cottage, and back into that world where Ikkyatsu crawls. There, the detective watched as a sea of lava moved across the land, pulling mountains down into it. It wouldn't be long until where he stood would join the chaos. He looked at the yellowing sky, and a hot breeze overtook him. He found himself a large boulder near the ruined temple and sat down. It was such a strange place. As the wind blew again, he could swear he could hear someone singing in the distance. Standing up, he began to follow the melody. It pulled him further away from the growing chaos to a section of the world that was yet unchanged. A pale moon hung very low in the horizon, and he could still see pools of cool water gleaming in its light. The singing continued as he walked. It was growing louder with each step. Next thing he knew, he was walking on an enormous field of dew-covered grass surrounded by rolling hills. A river cut through it and deep into a thick forest. He could see streaks of light flash heading away and up into the looming mountain range. The dew felt good against his feet. Wait, where were his shoes? He turned around quickly, figuring he must have left them back at the temple, although he didn't remember taking them off. When he turned around, the temple and the chaos were no longer there. Instead, more hills and trees, and in the very distance, a lighthouse overlooking an endless ocean. Where am I?
Don't tell me you've forgotten me already.
A sweet voice met his ears and he turned around. A girl with dazzling crystal blue eyes and silver hair was sitting on a flowering swing just behind him. He looked around, his eyes growing wider as he did so. He was in the midst of an amazing garden.
Wait, when did you come here? The second you stepped through the gate to rescue Alex, I brought you here.
But I, yes, and she remembers it that way too.
Oh, and thank you for that. It would have been very bad for Jonah to come here.
So am I. Do you want to be detective? He looked at himself. He was as he had been when he first met Jonah, before the cult, before the demon Melech, before the Kadric Order.
I don't know.
Come, she pointed to a small dais, where a small meal sat waiting for them. Let's have a chat.
So, Alex Kutchma has returned, and the detective has sacrificed his life for that to have happened. Does this mean the end? That there's nothing left to tell? Well, does it? I think not. Tune in for one final Tentacle Tuesday with Chapter 22, Epilogue.